We've all had a broken heart at some point. It's been shattered. It's been bruised, broken into pieces. A bruised reed you will not break. Please hear me. When the Holy Spirit brings a memory to your mind today, it's not to hurt you. It's to heal you. Jesus saves us, but Jesus can help you right now, too. He's just not going to get you to heaven. He can help you on this earth. You don't have to live with the pain. Hey, everyone. Well, I want to also say to all the mothers, Happy Mother's Day. And we've been doing something since the very first Mother's Day that I won't forget, like I forgot on Easter to say he has risen. And thank you for all of you that reminded me. But anyway, I submitted that memory to the Lord last week and was healed. So I'm joking. The very first Mother's Day at Gateway ever, I was praying and I thought about what about ladies who want to be moms and are having difficulty conceiving or have some medical condition or have lost a child or something. And I just thought about the hurt that sometimes could go along with Mother's Day. And so I want to pray for you. But I started that first Mother's Day praying for ladies who wanted to be mothers that were having a difficulty. And so we've been doing that every year, and every year we have ladies get pregnant that from that prayer. The Lord hears that prayer. I for some reason, this is an area of faith for me, and I've prophesied over people who couldn't have children, and they got pregnant, had children. I've prayed for people. I was in a service one time and pointed out a lady and said, you know, you and your husband have been praying for children and you haven't been able to conceive. The doctor said it's medically impossible. I'm telling you, you're going to have a child. And about a year later, we went back to that church to preach and Debbie was with me, but we walked in the foyer and you know how foyers are just filled with people, and the foyer was filled. And this lady came walking out of the sanctuary about, looked to me like 9.5 months pregnant, but she came walking out like this and she said, "You did this to me." So we had to clarify that I had prayed for her. And so, okay. So there's actually a lady who, I don't know whether she's in this service or this campus, who flew in to be in this prayer time. And I get emails every year. I want to read you one. In April of 2019, my husband and I had been trying unsuccessfully to have our second baby for months and had been diagnosed with male and female factor infertility. Doctors explained to us that we had a very slim likelihood of conceiving. But in May of 2019, we stood at the South Lake campus with tear-filled eyes as Pastor Robert prayed a blessing of fertility over us and several other couples. 5 months later, we were amazed to find out that we were pregnant and our baby girl was born in July of 2020. But the story doesn't end there. 4 months after she was born, we found out we were expecting a little boy who was born in May of 2021. And so it's just wonderful how God does that. And so I want to pray for ladies who are trying to conceive or want to conceive. I want us to remember every person during this time. And so I'm going to ask you to stand in just a moment. Please don't be embarrassed, okay? Because it's nothing to be embarrassed about, to be asking God for a child. And so Hannah obviously asked God for a son, and it was Samuel. And so, but I do remember the very first Sunday we ever did it, we were much smaller, obviously, than this. And I asked the ladies to stand. There were probably only 4 or 5. And I remember a lady stood up, and her husband pulled her back down. So But if you're, please don't be embarrassed. If you're, maybe you haven't had any children, or maybe you've had one or two and asking for another, but if you're praying and asking God to conceive, would you stand up so that we can pray for you, all right? So at every campus, every gathering, online, in your home, wherever you are, will you stand up? And so I want everyone to just join with me and let's pray. Lord, we know that children are a blessing from the Lord. They are an inheritance from the Lord. And so I pray for my sweet, wonderful sisters in Christ. And we've read in Scripture how you opened the womb. And so, Lord, I'm asking you to open their wombs today in Jesus' name. And if there's something medically there that needs to be healed, I'm asking you, the creator, the manufacturer of all of our bodies, our inward parts, I'm asking you to touch that part today and heal that part. And Lord, I speak by the power of the Holy Spirit, conception in Jesus' name. I pray for a good pregnancy, a full-term pregnancy, and a child who is blessed and called and anointed by you. So we bless our sisters in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 So thank you. So we're in a series called The Ministries of Jesus. We're taking it out of Luke 4. And we started on Easter with salvation. And last week we did mending, which some would call inner healing or emotional healing. And I kind of left my pattern and didn't do 3 points and just took some time. Every message that I do and every point that I do has 3 parts, which some of you have figured this out, some of you haven't, but it's called explanation, application, illustration. In other words, I explain the scripture to you, I show you how it applies to us, and then I normally will do an illustration. Last week, what I did was I explained a few scriptures, and then I gave some illustrations of people who've had broken hearts mended, including me, and then we applied it by asking the Lord to bring memories to our minds that he wanted to heal. We submitted those to the Lord, and I just would like to just see, just by a show of hands at every campus and every gathering, how many of you feel like that the Lord touched something in you and healed it last weekend? Can I just see your hands? It's amazing, isn't it? So some of you might ask, well, why do we need to do this? When we get saved, don't we get everything? Here's what we get when we get saved. We get Jesus. But we grow in our relationship with the Lord. And then in the very same way, these after salvation, this inner healing, and then this week is freedom. So the title of this message is freedom, and I'll show you that in Luke 4. But the way we get this is the same way we get saved. We appropriate by faith what Jesus came to do. And so last weekend, all we did was appropriate by faith what Jesus came to do. And that was to heal the brokenhearted, or to set at liberty, to set free those who are bruised. So this week, again, let's go back to Luke 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So that's salvation. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. That was last week. We called it mending, inner healing or emotional healing. And then this week is to proclaim liberty to the captives. And you need to understand when he says to proclaim liberty to the captives, or freedom to those who are in bondage, when Jesus speaks, he creates. That's the way he creates. Just look at Genesis 1. He didn't wave his hand. When he wanted light, he said, let there be light. So when he says, I came to speak freedom over people who are in bondage, in other words, I came to create freedom for people who are in bondage. Now, here's what I've got to do, and I'm going to show you a few more scriptures with only one illustration this week. The reason is I might have to convince you that believers can be in bondage. Now, some of you have a background like I have, which not good. In other words, I was good when I was growing up, but I was good at sinning. That's what I was good at. Debbie was good at being good. I was good at being bad. And I practiced a lot, you know, and developed that skill. Okay, so when I got saved from the penalty of sin. One day, I'm going to go to heaven and I'll be saved from the presence of sin. No sin. I am now, as I grow and mature in Christ, being saved or set free from the power of sin. Are y'all following me? So some of you, when I say a believer can be in bondage, you're thinking, I agree. I don't have a problem. You don't have to convince me of that. You can skip to the prayer part, Pastor. I know I'm in bondage, okay? But I just want to show you scripturally that believers can be in bondage. Now, in John 8, there's a scripture that 99% of believers are, if you've been saved for any amount of time, have heard this scripture or know this scripture. It says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Have you heard that? The only problem is that we don't know that Jesus was speaking to believers when he said that. He was telling believers, you can know or come to know or grow in the truth more, and you can get freer and freer and freer through the maturation process of coming to grow in your faith in the Lord, all right? So I have to show you the verse before to show you that he was speaking to believers. So John 8, verse 31 says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. Now stop before we get to verse 32. There were some Jewish people that Jesus spoke to when he was on the earth that did not believe in him. Everyone agree with that? But there were some Jews who believed that he was the Messiah. So I just, again, look at the first part of verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him. Okay, so real simple question. Did these Jewish people believe or did they not believe? Did they believe? Does the Bible say they believed? So is he talking to believers? Okay, watch. Verse 32. And you... let me just insert this, believers. Believers, you believers shall know the truth, come to understand the truth more fully, and the truth that you come to understand shall make you free. They answered him, we're Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Now, we read right over that, but let's not read over that. Let me say it again slowly and see if you think it's as funny as I think it is. He said, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. They said, we're Abraham's descendants and have never never been in bondage to anyone. Have y'all ever read the Bible? They had been in bondage to everyone. They'd been in bondage to the Grecians and the Chaldeans and the Babylonians and the Assyrians. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. Remember, it was a movie. Here's what Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make free. This is what they did. Why, we're Abraham's descendants that have never been in bondage to anyone. Okay, here's what I feel sometimes as a pastor. We Christians, even though we know Christ, can still be in bondage. Why, Pastor, we're Christians. And we've never been in bondage. Are you following me? It's crazy to say because you've been saved from the penalty of sin by grace through faith and you're on your way to heaven, that now you're perfect. Or that you're not captive by something holding you in bondage. So they said that in verse 33. So Jesus wants to make it clear in verse 34. John 8:34. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever," all right, stop for a minute. Are you a whoever? Whoever commits sin is in bondage, is a slave of sin. Now, let me explain. This doesn't mean whoever falls or makes a mistake. Again, go to the root of a word, and I can take you to the Greek, but I just want to take you to the English. Whoever commits sin. Can I give you another derivative of the word commits? Committed. We get the word committed from commits. Whoever is committed to sinning, to continuing in a sin. This, though, in the Greek, this means practice. Whoever practices or is committed to continuing in a sin. One Greek lexicon says, whoever makes allowances to continue in that sin. Now, according to just using, going back to when I was growing up, I've quit preaching and I've started meddling. Because you know, and I know that there have been some sins in our lives that we've made allowances to cover up and to stay in those sins. That this is the part of the service where it gets really quiet. But it's called bondage. But the good news is that he came to set you free. He came to proclaim liberty to the captives. This is a ministry of Jesus. All right, now, if this thing about because I'm a Christian, I can't be in bondage is just ludicrous. It's ludicrous. I'm showing you through scripture, but let me just give you an example, all right? If two men drink too much alcohol, and one's an unbeliever and one's a believer, but they drink so much, too much, way too much, even though one's an unbeliever, one's a believer, will the believer still get drunk? But he's a believer. See, it's ludicrous. If you drink too much and you're weaving all over the road and you get pulled over for driving under the influence, DUI, when my daughter was taking her getting ready for her driver's test, Debbie was going over the questions and she said, "What five tests can a police officer give you if he suspects that you're driving under the influence?" And she said, "Ask Dad, he knows." I quoted the fifth commandment to her, honor your mother and father. So, okay. And I, by the way, I didn't know. But anyway, if you get pulled over and the officer says, I think you're driving under the influence, tell him, "I can't be under the influence though because I'm a Christian." You're under the influence because you opened yourself up to that. Listen to me, if a person starts looking at pornography on the internet and you don't think it's going to affect you, you are deceived. You are going to come under the influence. And the same way if a guy drinks too much or a woman drinks too much, but let's just take a guy for a moment, and he drinks too much and then he does something totally out of character, but he does it because he's under the influence. In the very same way, a man could start looking at pornography and then one day do something totally out of his character, be a great husband, great father, great grandfather maybe even, and yet do something so out of character because he's now under the influence of a demonic spirit. That's what you need to know. So let me show you another passage and just show you how we know it's a Christian. Matthew 18:21. Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times." Now, I know we think that's a really good question. I don't think it was personally. I think Peter was saying, "Lord, you keep talking about forgiving people. And I'd just like to know, is it okay with you if they do it seven times, I forgive them? Eighth time, I beat the snot out of them. Is that okay with you?" Just want to clarify this forgiveness thing. When does it end? Jesus said, "I don't say to you up to seven, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like." Now, is this Jesus talking? Okay, sorry. Let me ask you again. Is this Jesus talking? The kingdom is like this. A certain king, so who would the king be? Jesus, right? Who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Who would his servants be? Believers, right? He wouldn't be talking about unbelievers here. He'd be talking about believers, right? So we're trying to figure out, can believers be in bondage? And when he began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, I've seen lots of variations of what that would mean. The closest that I've seen that I believe would be $52,800,000. So about 50 million. I know that's small change for some of you, but for the rest of us, that's a little above our budget. One brought who owned him 10,000 talents, but as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold or go into bondage with his wife and children, all that he had, and payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Does that not sound like salvation? I forgive you for everything. But that saved person, that person who'd been forgiven by the king, by the master, went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. That's $44. I think Jesus wanted to use these amounts to show, here's what it's like when you've been forgiven for everything you've ever done and you won't forgive someone else for one thing. He went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him. Oh, he's going to pray for him. That's good. And took him by the throat. Never mind. Saying, "Pay me what you owe me." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, this is a Christian now, saying, "Have patience with me and I'll pay you all." But he would not. The Christian, the one who'd been forgiven everything, would not, and threw him into prison until he should pay the debt. In other words, he wouldn't forgive. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved. They came and told their master all that had been done. We know the master is Jesus. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You're a wicked servant, a wicked believer. I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry. Now watch this. And delivered him to the torturers. I wonder whom they would represent. Demonic spirits, until he should pay all that was due him. Now, here's the thing. If it had ended there, you'd say, okay, that's a good parable. But watch it, what Jesus said, who cannot lie. "So my heavenly Father also will do to you, will turn you over to torturers, if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." Did Jesus say this? See, we don't want to admit it, but he did. And so now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, so why would a loving father do this to me? Let me tell you why. Because He doesn't want you to keep going down that road. He wants you to be tormented so you'll repent and come back so you don't keep going farther and farther down that road. And it's all through the Old Testament. This is all through the Old Testament. Israel would sin and follow other gods, so God would take them into bondage, captivity, to another nation so they would cry out to God and repent and he could set them free. In other words, it's like disciplining a child for something because you don't want the child to keep going down that rebellious path because you love the child. You understand what I'm saying? It's a loving father that says, I want you to see what sin does so you don't keep going down this path. Because if you're going to start looking at pornography, you're going to get in bondage to lust, and eventually you're going to lose your family and your job and your health and everything. So I'm going to turn you over now to the tormentors so that you'll say, I don't want to live like this anymore. Are y'all hearing me? But I'm telling you what's great is Jesus came to set the captives free. Now I want to show you one more thing about can a believer be in bondage. Galatians 3 verse 7 says, therefore know that only those who are of faith, the root word to be believe, who believers are sons of Abraham. Only those who truly believe in the Messiah are sons, and if you're a woman, obviously a daughter of Abraham. So I want you to remember, those who are faith, those who believe in the Messiah, those are the sons and daughters of Abraham. Luke 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. Okay, just want you to know something. Does the Bible say she had a spirit? Okay. And this spirit's tormenting her. And was bent over and could in no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now, just let me comment on that. That's very interesting because most of the time they came to Jesus, but he walks into church and calls her over. I'm going to tell you, go ahead and tell you why. It's because he knows his own. He called her to him, and he said, woman, you are loosed or freed from your infirmity. And he laid his hands on her, and in a week, when she named it and claimed it, I'm not trying to make fun of something. I'm simply telling you that when the creator of the universe touches you, you're free. Immediately. And immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, the pastor, answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath. And he said to the crowd, there are 6 days on which men ought to work. Therefore, come and be healed on them, not on the Sabbath day. Isn't that the most stupid thing you've ever heard in your life? As if healing people was work. Or even getting healed was work. Like this woman did some sort of work. She just came to church and Jesus said, come here, and put his hands on her. And the ruler says, you shouldn't have worked on the Sabbath, you know. The Lord answered him, running his campaign speech and being nice to everybody, hypocrite. Does not each one of you on the Sabbath loose, notice the word loose again, loose free his ox or his donkey from the stall and lead it away to water? So ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham. Wait. Is this one book? I need to ask you again. Is this one book?
Yes.
Even though 40 men penned it, it's only got one author. So if Galatians says the only ones who are sons and daughters are the ones who are of faith, are believers. Jesus said this woman's a daughter of Abraham. She's a believer. But she had a spirit for 18 years. She was in bondage. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, think of it, for 18 years be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath? Just one thing about the word loose, this same Greek word, is used somewhere else. Do you remember Lazarus was raised from the dead, which represents a picture of salvation? But when he was raised from the dead, it says he came out of the tomb bound. And Jesus said, same word, loose him and let him go. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. Jesus came not just to save you for heaven. He came to set you free on this earth from every sin that can bind you. You don't have to live in bondage. You don't have to be controlled by something else. So I got saved at 19. I got saved 9 months after Debbie and I got married. I'd grown up in church, but I didn't see a personal relationship with Jesus like I saw in her until we got married. She had something I didn't have, and I knew it, even though I'd grown up in church. And I was very, very immoral in high school and got involved in drugs. When I got saved, I don't know why it works this way, but I could explain about these two things, but I don't have time to do all that. But when I got saved, I was immediately delivered from drugs. Had no desire to ever go back to drugs. But I was in bondage for years to lust. One of the reasons is because God gave us this brilliant mind that Dr. Carson told us a little bit about, this brilliant neurosurgeon, you know, that we had a few weeks ago. But I had programmed my mind to see things that it should not have seen. And so I was programmed to think a certain way. And here I was a believer, but I was in bondage. And I got saved at 19. On my 20th birthday, the Lord said to me in my quiet time one day, "What do you want from me for your birthday?" My very first birthday after getting saved. And I never even thought about it. And I thought about something spiritual, a spiritual work I wanted to do in my life. So I asked him. So every year on my birthday, I ask the Lord for something. You might want to try it. He's been faithful so far. I've had a few times where I say, nothing comes to my mind, so you surprise me. And it's always better than what I could have asked for. But on my 30th birthday, after being saved 11 years, but still battling with lust to such a degree, I would have said, I am in bondage to this. This is something I don't think I'll ever get free from. Right before my 30th birthday, this was my prayer. I want to hear you more clearly. That was my prayer. I wasn't thinking anything about lust. I was just saying, I want to hear you more clearly. I want to be able to hear you clearly. I went to speak Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at church and be part of a presbytery where we prophesy over people. And Monday morning was my birthday. Monday, okay? So Friday night, we prophesy over people, and I'm prophesying like I've never prophesied before. I mean, names, things that happened. This happened when you were 8. This happened when you were 12. This happened when you were 16. I mean, unbelievable. There's no way a person could do this unless the Holy Spirit, you know, tells you these things. It was unbelievable. Even the guys that were ministering with me thought I'd gotten re-saved or something because they thought, there's just, Robert, you're just not this good, you know. So it was one of those amazing nights. And so I thought the Lord's already answering my birthday thing to hear God more clearly. That night I couldn't sleep. I start flipping through the channels on the TV and they had just normal movie channels. But late at night, there are things that, you know, are pornographic basically. And I watched something that I shouldn't have watched, and I knew it. And the next day when I talked to Debbie, we had come to the place in our marriage that I could confess to her. And I said, I did this. I wanted you to know. I feel horrible, da-da-da. Saturday night, I couldn't hear God at all. I'd gone from Friday night hearing God clearly to Saturday night hearing God at all. Now listen to me. God wasn't punishing me, but he was actually doing something to show me when you persist in this, it's going to affect other areas of your life. You need to know that. Sunday morning, I thought, Lord, I think I should call in sick because I'm not going to be able to hear you. I already know that. I don't know what to do to get right with you. I was already right by grace, but something was being affected in my life. Anyway, Sunday morning, there are three of us ministering, and there was an older presbyter with us, the one that I told you prayed help a few weeks ago. And he said, I don't think we're supposed to minister to people prophetically this morning. I have a message God told me to preach. And I remember thinking, praise the Lord. And he got up and he preached on the sin that so easily besets us. And from the first words out of his mouth, I knew he was talking about something that in my life had been a stronghold since I was 14 years old. And he began to preach and he said, what we don't understand is that this sin that we persist in, every time the Bible says we're not tempted beyond what we can bear. So every time we yield to it, we're stiff-arming the Holy Spirit. And then he said, in just a matter of a few hours, we ask the Holy Spirit to use us. And yet in this area of our lives, we stiff arm him. So he said, the Lord told me that he'll set you free today if you'll humble yourself. And I thought, I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna get free finally. And he said, in a moment, I'm gonna ask you to come to the altar. And I thought, you know what, Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm one of the ministers, you know. And then I had this thought. They'll probably just think that I'm not reading my Bible enough or praying enough. You know, they won't think it's lust, you know. And then this pastor who's speaking said, and I'm not talking about just not praying or reading your Bible enough. He said, I'm talking about that you are in bondage to a vile and a dirty, shameful sin. But I remember thinking, I'll be the first one there. So when he gave the invitation, I was the first one. And the Lord touched me. Monday, remember, was my birthday. And I've been asking God to, so that I could hear him more clearly. Monday morning, when I opened my eyes, the Lord said to me, happy birthday. He said, you see, son, I had to remove what was blocking you from having that pure relationship with me. And I remember him saying to me, I've set you free. Don't ever go back that way again. And that's 30 years ago. It doesn't mean that you don't work on it, that you don't get tempted, that you don't have to press in, that you don't continue to grow. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I've not had any battles since then. I'm saying there was a demonic bondage in my life that Jesus proclaimed liberty over me. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar because it's just like last week. Someone asked me, why didn't you have people come to the altar? Here's the reason, and you can come to the altar if you need prayer for any reason in a moment. But the reason was, I want everyone to respond to the invitation this week. Last week, I wanted everyone to get ministered to. So we asked the Holy Spirit to bring memories to our minds last weekend that he wanted to heal. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit right now in your heart, is there an area of bondage in my life that you want to speak, proclaim liberty over today. And for some of us, it will come immediately. Immediately. We know what it is. It's something we've battled for so long, and we've told God we'll never do this again, and we have no power over it. That's one of the ways we know it's bondage. We're powerless. But Jesus has all power. This is a holy moment. I'm telling you, it's not difficult for Jesus to set you free. I want to build faith in you. But he needs you to confess it as sin, to see it as bondage, that you can't get free from this without him, and to just ask him to set you free. And that's what I want you to do. Just in your own way, in your heart, I'm not going to lead you in a prayer. I want you to tell him, Lord, I'm not going to make any excuses anymore. This is sin. I recognize it as sin. And I ask you to set me free today. I'm not telling you you'll never be tempted again. I'm not telling you you won't have to continue to mature in Christ. I'm not telling you that, but I'm telling you that if there is a demonic spirit holding you in bondage, Jesus is going to set you free today. So ask him. Tell him you need freedom. Tell him what you in the area you need freedom, and ask him to set you free. And now, Lord, I want to agree with my brothers and sisters. This is not a hard thing for you. Satan must obey you. All through your ministry, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you cast demons out of people. You set daughters and sons of Abraham free. You set believers in bondage free. And so, Lord, I declare on the authority of your word today, freedom for my brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. And in the name of Jesus, I command every spirit of lust or pornography or adultery or sexual immorality to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of pride or anger or manipulation or control, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of insecurity and inferiority and fear and anxiety and worry, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every demonic spirit, every spirit of addiction, whether it's alcoholic addiction or drug addiction or food addiction, every spirit of addiction, I command you to go in Jesus' name. Every spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness and resentment and malice and envy and jealousy, I command you to go in Jesus' name. It is not by the authority of my voice. It is by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I declare deliverance over my brothers and my sisters by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, and that we don't love our lives unto death, that we lay our lives down for the gospel. And I declare over my brothers and sisters right now, every demonic spirit that has held them in bondage, I command you to go in Jesus' name. And I want you to just turn your palms upward toward the Lord. And Lord, I ask you that every place that every evil spirit has left, I ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit right now. Fill us with the power to walk as your disciples, as your followers on this earth. And Lord, we tell you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you came to proclaim liberty over the captives, and we receive freedom today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen, amen. Let's thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Amen, amen. Wow. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And listen, before you leave today, let's follow that up with prayer with somebody. We got to stand together, and we have plenty of people that are going to be making their way here to the altar in just a second to pray with you. So we can stand together. And as you stand, if you need prayer for any reason today, you want someone to tell someone what you're going through, we are here for each other. We're a family, and we love to stand and pray together. So take advantage of that today. You can move forward right now while I'm speaking, or when dismissed, you can come forward then as well. I have two announcements for you today. They're super important, so give me just a second. I'll tell you about these. You can continue to come forward, and then we'll have a prayer at the end. I'll pray a blessing over you. The first one is this: to all of our mothers that are present today and this weekend in the room and online, we have a gift for you. We have a gift for you. You may remember last year we had a book that was called The Joy of Being Mom. It's a fabulous book about all the great joys that go along with all of the great struggles of being a mom and all the different seasons of being a mom, but the great joy that is involved in that process. And we gave that to you last year. And this year we have the follow-up devotional just for each and every one of you mothers in this room. And so as you leave today, we'll have someone hand that to you. We just want to say that we love you and happy Mother's Day to you. And if you have a mom, a wife, or someone that you'd like to have that get that book for, maybe you'd like the one that we gave out last year, or maybe you're watching online today, you can pick those up in the bookstore if you're here, or at store.gatewaypeople.com. We would love for you to take advantage of that. It's by Judy Brisky. We love her, and it's an amazing book. The second thing is this: in just another week, we have Serve Week, where we invite everybody at every campus of Gateway Church, every gathering, and everyone online to serve together and bless the world and bless our communities. And so we want you to take advantage of doing that. You can find out online about that at gatewaypeople.com Serve Week. And if you're at a gathering, you can ask your leader about serving opportunities. But we'll be packing food, feeding homeless. We'll be doing all kind of great things. And together, with all the force of all the membership of Gateway Church, I truly believe we can impact the world. So take advantage of that. And if you need anything from any of us, any of our staff, some of us will be in the lobby in our Connect Central. We love to talk to you and help you know what the next step is for you. But I want to pray a blessing over you today. And then do not leave. If you feel the Holy Spirit tugging your heart, do not leave without connecting with someone in prayer and partnering together. We want to believe with you, stand with you, and have faith along with you that God is going to do what He promises to do in your life. That was a powerful word. That was amazing. So Father, thank you so much for your word, that it never returns empty of its intended purpose. Thank you, God, that you love us, that you gave your life for our freedom. We learned more about that today. God, I pray that we would walk out of here the free people that you've created us to be and help others find freedom. We love you. We bless you. We bless these moms. I pray that you would bless their entire weekend and bless your people here at Gateway Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great weekend.